Hello, I'm Judy Woodruff. It's the Political Checklist, and I'm here with my colleagues, senior political correspondent Gwen Ifill and political editor David Chalian, both of you just back from Iowa, where there were some interesting goings-on in the Republican race for president this weekend. Gwen, let me start with you. There was a debate, there was a straw poll, and now the shape of the race has changed.
We knew it was going to be a big weekend. We knew there was going to be a trifecta because the state fair was in there too. But what we didn't know was that by the end of the weekend, there would be a top tier, very clear top tier. Michelle Bachmann won the straw poll, which by the end we was kind of expected. She was organized, had a lot of energy, certainly knew what she was doing, hit all her marks. Tim Pawlenty, however, who only came in third, but he came in a distant third behind Ron Paul, just the quickest exit in the history of American politics. Within 12 hours, he was out of the race. He decided it wasn't worth it, especially with the entry of Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. I mentioned Tim Perry, who's someone else entirely. Rick Perry, who's the governor of Texas, who we knew was getting into the race, but we didn't know he was getting into the race this weekend and stepping on the story so emphatically, which is what he did with the big Texas twang in Waterloo, Iowa last night.
And you were there to see what happened in Waterloo, David. Picking up on Bachmann winning the straw poll, she's there, in effect, competing with Perry, who didn't even take part in the straw poll.
Right. Well, Waterloo is Michelle Bachmann's hometown. She lived there until she was about 12 years old. It's where she announced her presidential campaign about 50 days ago, and it's been quite a 50 days for her. Rick Perry clearly sought this opportunity to make a bit of a statement that he wasn't going to be afraid of Michelle Bachmann in Iowa, where she's been surging in his first weekend as a presidential candidate. Judy, he worked that room like as if he had been on the presidential campaign trail for months. He made sure to shake everybody's hand, sat down at each table. And you know, these are Republican activists at a local county dinner. These are the kinds of people that will show up to caucuses in January. Whereas Michelle Bachmann, she didn't even really want to be in the room when Rick Perry was in the room. She waited out in her campaign bus until it was her time to speak. She was late getting to the stage. She brought in her own lighting for television. There's something about her entrance last night after her win that felt like she was the celebrity sort of candidate, but not necessarily there to work for every vote. It was an interesting dichotomy, and Rick Perry, for his second day on the trail, had a pretty solid economic stump speech already developed.
Had come up from South Carolina, where he made the big announcement. The name we're not talking about right now, though, Gwen, is Mitt Romney. He was there for the debate the other night, but then he didn't stick around. He didn't participate in the straw poll, and he hightailed it, I guess, forgive the verb. He flew to New Hampshire, not participating much.
Missing in action, but you know what? He made a decision, and he explained it this way. He said, I could spend my resources on a straw poll, which in the end might not get me where I need to be, or I could decide to be in New Hampshire where, because he was the governor of a neighboring state, he has a better chance of winning. There is an argument that if Tim Pawlenty, the governor of neighboring Minnesota, albeit, if he had decided to spend his money in New Hampshire, he might still be in the race today.
And David, no downside for Romney not to be playing?
Well, remember, he was there for the debate Thursday night, and a lot of the coverage, though, focused on the Pawlenty-Bachmann split, was the fact that he emerged from that unscathed. Nobody really tried to take a piece out of Mitt Romney that night, and that's a good thing for him. He is just trying to keep this above the fray air about his candidacy. He doesn't want to get in the mud. Right now, what the Romney campaign is hoping for is that Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann fight it out for months in Iowa, that they just keep battling for the heart and minds of the social conservative movement in Iowa so that Mitt Romney can continue to sort of not seem to be sort of down in the mud with them.
But he will compete in the caucuses.
He will. Mitt Romney will compete in the caucuses. And by the way, has a 99-county statewide network. I mean, remember, he poured $10 million into Iowa 4 years ago. It's not as if he's an unknown factor there. So if indeed he sees Perry and Bachmann splitting that part of the vote, he may swoop in at the end and try to win those caucuses.
Meanwhile, the fellow who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now has decided to hit the trail. He's in Minnesota on his way to Iowa.
It must be very interesting for the president to sit on the sidelines and watch the Republicans suddenly spring to life. What he has done is said he was going out as president, not as a candidate, to actually talk in the Midwest and go to very carefully selected small towns, I think total population combined 15,000 people, to try to say, message I care, and to try, which of course we know doesn't always work so well, but to try to be part of this and to be part of the discussion every single day, talk about the economy.
Because he's taken a beating. I mean, not only have we seen a tough time for the economy, the numbers keep being bad. The stock market was on a wild ride last week, and now the Republican candidates are out there every day going after him.
Right. What Barack Obama, we talked about what Mitt Romney's looking for right now. Barack Obama likes the crowded Republican field, too. He hopes, he does not want to see sort of Romney fall apart, Bachman fall apart, Perry rise, or something like that. He doesn't want to be in a one-on-one conversation with a Republican candidate right now, because they have a very strong case to make on these economic numbers of where we are right now. And he doesn't want that singular attention on him. So he's looking for a very crowded Republican field. He would like to see them fight it out for quite a while so that, A, he can hopefully get some better economic news to sell down the road when there is just one Republican to take on, but also because he's trying to set up this fight with the Republicans in Congress, and he wants to use the presidential candidates to that end as well, that they also are just part and parcel, David Axelrod, a senior advisor, said last week. We saw all those Republican candidates on the stage pledging allegiance to the Tea Party, just the way that the president tries to do with Speaker Boehner as well in Congress.
And they can't be excited about this tracking poll by Gallup that has the president below 40% for the first time of his presidency. So, you both were in Iowa. We've talked about politics, but there was some food being served up
there
at the state fair. What about that?
No, it had to be said. You can't go to the Iowa State Fair, you know, and humming all the music from the Music Man in your head and not and not take a little bit of what there was to offer. And in quick succession, we had corn dogs. We had pork chops on a stick. Everything's on a stick, by the way. That's the way you eat it. And fried Twinkies. Was there a choice between the Oreos, the Twinkies?
Right.
And we went with the Twinkies.
We did go with the Twinkies.
Wait a minute. These are just plain Twinkies? Or these are
dough fried around a Twinkie.
It's the same dough.
With powdered sugar on them.
Deep fat fried.
Yeah, deep fat fried.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And how good was it?
Well, it was... Well, we didn't finish our fried Twinkie. It was all kind of delicious, but we'll let
everyone take a delicious.
Look.
Don't believe that.
All right, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, thank you, David Chalian, and thank you, Glenn Eichel.
Thank you, Judy.